Good morning. It's Friday. Hello, citizens of these United States, misnomered as Americans. Autumn leaves, scars, Otterdam. Yeah, something looks good, man. New album just came out 23 hours ago. Sounds pretty good. What I become in darkness, I manifest in light. An outcast astride from the fall. The end of humanity is my treacherous desire. I look for the end. That death of it. Oh yes, the ruling class are worthy of study. The natural history of the ruling class is of fascinating interest. You begin with interest, you proceed with awe and admiration, you deepen into hatred, and you wind up with contempt for the nature of the beast. You realize that the capitalist class is the meanest class that has ever grasped the reins of power. By James Connolly, Our Rulers as a Study. Circa 1915. This is the beginning of this quarter's issue of Jacobin magazine. Naming the enemy, the greatest trick of the ruling class has ever pulled was convincing the world it didn't exist. Yeah, pretty good at good old capitalism, eh? In the 19th century, supporters and opponents of capitalism both agreed that the system couldn't survive universal suffrage. But the triumph of liberal democracy has made it easier for the ruling class to hide all in plain sight, at least in the centers of developed capitalism. Their social power is immense and often overwhelming, but mainstream political theory barely acknowledges their existence. That's right, so much so that most of us are buffaloed by all this, even myself. Let's move on to some more international type subjects.
Under the moon, I am still the witness of such decay. God must be dead. Whispers in my ear. The wind brings the tree.
Okay, so while we're on the subject of the Canaanites and the Mesopotamia and Israel and all that nonsense. Oh, I didn't realize that I had changed the subject to that. Yes, I'm changing the subject to that. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts off of MythVision. A couple of them just today of Jacob Berman, who has some very interesting research that he's presenting. One is the Father of God the Father. I like that. Now he's got another one called Jesus Was a Composite, which is something I've been onto with a lot of these mythical prophet-like figures. Now he claims that Abraham was a real guy. I don't necessarily buy that, and I haven't heard him present any evidence to the contrary other than etymological. So I'm still waiting. Etymological evidence is okay, it's not archaeological, though. So without the archaeology and without the direct historical documents, i.e. clay tablets from Sumer or Ur, where allegedly Abram, a.k.a. Abraham, came from. So until I can get that information from him, I'm gonna hold on my theory that Abraham is also a composite, along with Moses and along with Jesus. So I'm pretty excited about that. So here's some news. Jerusalem, more than 100 injured as Palestinians clash with Israeli police. Okay, the first article comes from CNN. 100 Palestinians were wounded as protesters clashed with Israeli security forces in East Jerusalem in overnight development. Clashes erupted on Thursday night. This is the largest such incident since the start of the holy Muslim month of Ramadan. The Palestinian Red Crescent said it had treated 105 people, with 20 of them hospitalized. Okay, about 32% of the articles on this are in the center or center left. 24% are on the mild left. 44% are on the right. And there's no far right on this, interestingly enough. So Haaretz broke the news about 17 hours ago. That's my favorite Israeli publication, but they want to charge me subscription. I ain't buying. Typically. Same with Washington Post, New York Times. I'm not going to buy their subscriptions. I'm not going to buy them. I believe the news should be free access. Okay, so you want to buy the fucking New York Times Sunday paper? Go ahead. We've got a big problem in that neck of the woods, and my bias is definitely towards the Palestinians. Now, I'm not pro-Muslim. I'm definitely not pro-Jew, and I mean, we're talking religiously now. I'm not pro-Christian. I'm pretty much anti-Abrahamic religion. These religions have been the scourge of the Western world. They've caused more death and destruction and mayhem than possibly the rest of the world combined. Even the Buddha, you know, religion got spread by Ashoka throughout India with a lot of death. Still doesn't compare to what the Abrahamic religions have done. Or in the name of them.
When I'm not with what's afraid, I stare into my own making glass. But life's good. The smart movement.
Needless to say, I'm not a fan. And I definitely don't support Israel as a Zionist nation state. I think it should be the Free State of Palestine, with Israel inside of it, with the other entities inside of it, and it should be a whole composite of their citizenry. I like how you use that. Actually, consensus of their citizenry. Now, you know, a lot of Israelis are definitely in the camp of a one-state solution. I like that solution. Because what did the Zionists do? They pushed the Palestinians off into Gaza, and you know they have no resources to speak of. They're cut off. You know, and of course everybody's done wrong. I mean, Israelis have slaughtered lots of them. They've done a lot of bombings. The Palestinians have. You got Hezbollah and the bullshit they've pulled. These guys are all fucking wrong. In my opinion, they're all wrong. All this whole nation state garbage, all it does is create death and destruction. And of course, you know, the Israelis have a lot of the Zionists have a lot of arguments for what they've done. I'm not going to get into their arguments. I don't debate with them on it. You motherfuckers are being totally unfair. You're being wrong, and you're not inclusive. You're exclusive. So fuck you. Fuck you, Zionist Israeli bunch of fucking dog turds. Fuck you. And fuck you, U.S. citizens who are Jews, who send the Zionist fuckers money and who push the Zionist lobby, not the Israel lobby, the Zionist lobby in our legislative branch of government, and have influenced, unfortunately, the executive branch into this whole fucking Jerusalem capital thing, which is another bunch of bullshit. Almost makes you want Armageddon to happen so all these fuckers die. Doesn't it? Trouble is, it's a myth. And it's not trouble, it's actually a good thing, because it's such bullshit. All this apocalyptic nonsense, which is centered in some area of the brain that craves the end of all things. Don't worry, man. It's on the installment plan. Yeah, the climate is going to take care of that shit for us. And you think this pandemic, is a artifice of just of viruses and pestilence? It's not. It could be indirectly related to climate change. If it's zoonotic in origin, which now there's a big debate, well, you know, it could have been influenced by what's being done in the lab, and you know, there's no evidence of that, although it is entirely plausible that some coronaviruses escaped from there and began to mutate wherever, zoonotically or with humans. The original vector has not been identified. So we really can't say, can we? We can say one thing, some bitch is sure mutating, and this 20% of the stubborn cocksuckers, sorry about that again, cocksuckers, noble, a noble term. These assholes that won't get their shots. You know, it's pretty sad, but you almost have to wish that these fuckers get sick and die from it because they are so goddamned ignorant. Almost, but not really. I'm just like, you know, very Pollyanna and hoping that maybe someday they'll wake up and see the light. God damn, this is horrible. Just horrible. Now I'm going to play for all of us a song by Epica that I think kind of sums up this whole Christianity nonsense. It's called Cry for the Moon.
Commit the evil they preach against.
We'll be right back. disclose the soul of this sick bulwark forever and ever, forever and ever.
There we go. This one always chokes me up. It choked me up. I just, whew. I have to take a deep breath there. Cry for the moon. Follow your common sense. You cannot hide yourself behind a fairy tale forever and ever. Only by revealing the whole truth can we disclose the soul of this sick bulwark forever and ever, forever and ever. Indoctrinated minds so very often contain sick thoughts and commit most of the evil they preach against. Are you ready? Hey, hey, hey. Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. Don't try to convince me with messages from God. You accuse us of sins committed by yourselves. It's easy to condemn without looking in the mirror. Behind the scenes opens reality. Eternal silence cries out for justice. Forgiveness is not for sale, nor is the will to forget. So follow your common sense. You cannot hide yourself behind a fairy tale forever and ever. Only by revealing the whole truth can we disclose the soul of this sick bulwark forever and ever. Virginity has been stolen at very young ages, and the extinguisher loses its immunity. Morbid abuse of power in the Garden of Eden, where the apple gets a youthful face. Eternal silence cries out for justice. Forgiveness is not for sale, nor is the will to forget. Follow your common sense. You cannot hide yourself behind a fairy tale forever and ever. Only by revealing the whole truth can we disclose the soul of this sick bulwark forever and ever, forever and ever. Eternal silence cries out for justice. Forgiveness is not for sale, nor is the will to forget. You can't go on hiding yourself behind old-fashioned fairy tales and keep washing your hands in innocence. Like I said, that one always tears me up. That just brought tears to my eyes and choked me up. That's a very emotional tune for me. Because I have been victimized, truthfully victimized of my own volition by the sickness of the Abrahamic religions, Christianity primarily, evangelical, charismatic Christianity, and its crazed stringing together of tracks into their own mythology. It's pretty awful. And a huge portion of our population here in this country have bought into this. They believe it as a concrete truth instead of using it as a potent vehicle to transcend. That's what it's really for, in my opinion. I mean, you can have religion. I'm against religion. personally, on a personal level, I have no problem with other people practicing it, as long as they don't try to force it on me or anyone else. Go ahead. You can go worship the fucking garbage can or the debris in the gutter if you want to. I don't really care. That's fine. Just don't try to push it on us. Don't try to make it part of our common welfare and legal system. Some of that is good. Some of it evolved from other ancient traditions and has a very humanistic place in our society and in our country. Once again, I keep hearing people talking about culture in regard to the United States. We don't have a culture. We have a blend of subcultures, which creates a society. Now, early this morning, I fell asleep about 5:30, 6 o'clock last night after I ate. I had this plant meat. It was really good. I cooked these burgers up. Yeah, they were good. And I drank a couple of beers and I passed out. I mean, a couple of beers. I drank like three beers and I passed out. And I got up because my pass out was very brief. It was more of a nod. And so I went to bed. And I woke up at about 12:30. So I got about 6.5-7 hours. Pretty good, huh? And then I put on the great courses. There's this great course on a skeptic's view of American history. Oh, my goodness. This is fucking awesome. Because it's talking about a lot of the things that actually went on in those early days. The first one was religious tolerance. What a fucking joke that is. How a lot of us thought that the, first of all, you know, the common myths of, you know, Columbus discovered America. That's not true. Second one about Columbus, you know, there was another one. I forget what it is, and I really don't care, because when you start looking at what got perpetrated as a result of him coming to North America, which he was really in the Caribbean, it was pretty awful what happened, especially with the Taino peoples. But then it goes on to the religious tolerance and the Puritans, the origins of all of that, and Williams, I think it was Roger Williams, you know, in Rhode Island, and, you know, how he was really kind of the father of the tolerance, the Williams was. Actually, he moved towards tolerance so he could purify his own religion separate from the state. He was the one who kind of came along with this separation of church and state, because up to that point, you know, the Church of England was the official religion of the kingdom of Great Britain at that time, or England anyway. So there, you know, a lot of problems with that. And then, you know, it talks about Lord Baltimore, George Calvert, talks about, you know, Catholics and all these. You know, there really wasn't tolerance, more or less. Williams was really about the only one. And there were actually state religions, not U.S. states had official religions. And they were all finally abolished. And now we're at a point where these whack job Christians, the whack job ones, the evangelical ones, want to enforce. They want to say that the Bible is the basis of law in the country. Now, that really came about in Bloom's book, The Closing of the American Mind. And actually, his view of all of that was very closed when you really examined it. I thought it was the shit back in the day. Didn't realize the root of where he came from with it. You know, that and Reaganism and all the other fetid, disgusting stuff. See, I got clean and got into the NA 12-step program while Reagan was still president. And I wasn't political in those days. So I really was just kind of, you know, I would read the morning paper as it appeared, you know, on the driveway at the old family home. I'd pick up the Arizona Republic and read it. Morning before I would wander off to work if I could, if it was early enough. I had to leave for work pretty early because I had lost my driver's license, had to ride the bus, and the bus system here in town wasn't that great. Didn't take the paper with me because my mother wanted to read it. And I was staying at her house, actually our family home. So I didn't really get to do that. At any rate, I wasn't political in those days, and there's a lot of these hijinks that were going on behind the scenes. Not as though I could have really done anything about it except cast a vote, which in the first election in 92, I voted for Ralph Nader. That's right. I voted for Ralph Nader because Ralph Nader was right about a lot of shit. And Clinton was nothing more than a fucking, he was a neoliberal. He was more Republican than Democrat, liberal Democrat. I voted for him the second time because I wanted to vote for a winner, because the whole thing to me was a big joke anyway. I was a green through all of that. That's why I was a Nader guy. I was a green. I still am a green. It's just that our party never really took off. And unfortunately, it is the party, in my opinion, and from the ideology that I subscribe to. My narrative is green. And we have to temper that with a lot of skepticism. So getting back to this religious insanity that people pursue, what they've done is what Joseph Campbell described, and one of my really close friends hated Joseph Campbell. Okay, so you hated Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell's big contribution actually was trying to decipher Finnegan's Wake. He spent a lot of his life translating that into understandable literary translations. One thing I like, though, that Campbell did was he talked about concretizing myths, which means, in the case of Christianity, thinking that Jesus actually lived and that Jesus had a historical lifetime and that Jesus will eventually be found in archaeology and that his promises are reality, that, you know, if you believe in him, and you turn your will and your life over to Jesus, surrender to him as your Savior, as your personal Savior, and follow his way, that you will be saved and you will go to heaven. Despite all the different contradictions, like where's the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's within. Okay. So therein lies the problem in the country, I think, with these evangelicals, Christians, is they've concretized the myth. They think that this is all a concrete reality when it is not. It's myth, like all the religions. Now, if you want to exercise religion, then you want to exercise mythicism, and you want to exercise that maybe in a shamanistic kind of a way, that these prophets and saviors and messiahs and saints and angels and different levels of God, that these are all higher states of consciousness to attain to. And that was what I liked about the Golden Dawn, was the Golden Dawn really introduced me to that. And back in the old days, we used to get our folks who wanted to get into magic and who liked the ceremonial approach, we'd push them to get into the Golden Dawn. Because when you study the Golden Dawn, you have this multi-layered, multi-paradigmal system of ceremonialism. You've got the Greek, you've got the Egyptian, you've got the Hebrew, you've got all this. Now, most of the Hebrew is bastardized. It's not really Zohar. You know, it's not really Torah. It's the bastardized Maria the Jew version, the Kabbalistic version. At any rate, we used to get people into that so they could discipline themselves. And also, if you read in that literature, Israel Righardi tells you that don't get into magic until you have about 100 hours of therapy behind you. I did actually have that, or maybe more. I don't know how much good it did me. It didn't make me any better, any worse than anybody else, and I don't negate anybody for not having done that who has had a great deal of satisfaction from practicing magic of any sort, whether it be kitchen witch, shamanism, chaos magic multi-paradigmal approaches, or whether it be ceremonialism. I used to have a pretty jaded view of ceremonial magic because so many people thought that was the way, the light and the truth. It reminded me a lot of all Jesus nonsense. So now I have this book in front of me. I talked about it in an earlier podcast. A friend of mine turned me on to this. It's not a turn on. It's actually kind of depressing that anybody would think that this has any value. It's The Secrets of the Illuminati. It's a little, I think, 60 or 80 page book with these 66 laws and all these. And it's just basic, in a spiritual sense, common sense. You know, it's not nearly as good as the 48 Laws of Power, in my opinion, which I think is an excellent book by Robert Greene. I like that book. None of these are actually true and, you know, the absolute truth or anything like that. What we know about the truth is it's subject to revision due to new facts being introduced and observations of those facts. And, you know, nothing is true. Everything is permitted. And there may, in fact, be no absolute truths. That's the ideology that I subscribe to. However, that does not turn me into the ultimate apologist. I'm very much anti-apologism because what it does is it lets people make excuses to pass by shitball thinking. Prime example is First Amendment free speech, in my opinion. It's okay to say and think and write whatever you want to. Yeah, it is. Why? Because of what we call discernment. For instance, yeah, we let Nazis spew off. Most of them have been censored off the internet. The Daily Stormer's gone. Yeah, a lot of them. I don't know if 8chan's still up and running or not, if the Watkins are still pulling their shit. I think they let go of it. I'm not sure. It's just, that's a real bunch of garbage. I'm going to have a podcast next week with an old friend of mine, CJ. And he's an ardent student of all of this conspiracy nonsense. And from the point of view of being a very tough skeptic. But the reason we want to listen to read what the Nazis are saying, and I call them Nazis now because it just doesn't make sense, because most of them are adhering to ideals against their best interests. But the reason we listen to them, the reason we, you know, look at what they have is so we can say, hey, you know what? This shit hurts people. This shit's harmful. This shit doesn't work in the society. That's why. Okay. So the same thing with this Illuminati thing on the other end of the spectrum. There's this group of motherfuckers that like to call themselves light workers. Oh, Jesus. Give me a fucking break. What is the light? Well, their concept of the light is this old mythical concept that there's this great white light. You know, in the Golden Dawn, we call it LVX. Cobs Unpacked, light in extension. And this is the great invisible light which illuminates the universe. Okay, well, that's kind of cool on a mythical level. It's pretty cool to embrace that kind of an ideal. However, my old mentor, Dr. Hyatt, and myself, you know, he taught me that signature which said LVX, which is light and extension, in hell. And my ideal of hell, my idea of hell, comes from what I learned from Deshimaru, Taizen Deshimaru Roshi, the great Soto Zen scholar and monk, which there's a Japanese word for it called naraka, which means to me, hell is between your ears, pal. Just like the kingdom of heaven is kind of in that, you know, that head to heart, you know, that big thing that all this quasi-spiritual motherfuckers talk about. There's another thing, this whole thing about spirituality. Another friend of mine posts this thing about what is your spirituality. You know, I don't give a fuck what your spirituality is, unless it's repressive or oppressive. I don't give a fuck what it is. Do whatever you want. I don't like the term. I don't use it. To me, spirit on that level is the will to thrive and grow, which has nothing to do with any mysticism. Has nothing to do with gods and goddesses or God or any of that nonsense. It has to do with a practical, rational approach for living your life with ethical and moral principles and living in integrity. I just don't like to call it spiritual. I'd just rather call it integrity because that's what works for me. Just because that whole thing gets, you know, like a lot of these terms, it gets very perverted. Very perverted. This is kind of a really nice album here. It's from 5 years ago. It's called, the band is called Eldamar, and it's their album, The Force of the Ancient Land. Boy, I love that. So, you know, if you want to be into spirituality, if you like that term, that's great. I'm not going to put you down for it. I'm not going to talk to you about it because I'm not interested in it. Especially from a mystical viewpoint. I use mysticism as a tool for belief. A belief, to me, is a tool that we can use to hopefully at some point alter reality into a desirable outcome. Now, there's unintended consequences. This is another term I've run into. God, I like that term. So we have unintended consequences that happen when we do things. For instance, if I drive my car down the street really fast, I don't want to run over anything, hurt anyone, or do it, but I might run over somebody, I might crash into something. I'm not intending to do that, but sometimes those kinds of things happen, right? So this is what happens in religions quite a bit, is there's, you know, when you say, hey, look, you know, you shouldn't be fucking. Fucking ain't good for you. You know, you shouldn't be having sex. Sex destroys. See, there's so many of these whack jobs, you know. Well, sex destroys my spiritual contentment and my centeredness and all that type of thing. There's all kinds of nonsense garbage like that. And so we don't want to have those artifacts which cause unintended consequences. Like one of the things another old pal of mine who's been dead for a while now used to talk about was when you look at the Christian cross. Okay, you see a balance equation going on. You see sex and life and death. And then on the bottom, you see spirituality. And when the cross, like the Christian cross, really long, that becomes repressive. And the more you repress people with a belief system, the more they're going to act out against it. Because we have this little thing, according to whatever society and familial environment we've grown up in called human nature. Humans fuck, they fight, they argue, they love each other, all these things. So there's hate and love and compassion, honest, you know, there's all these things. It's not just one or two. So the problem I have with the light workers is they're taking a section of the whole thing and saying, no, we need to always love everybody and care about everyone because that's the way to be. Well, where did that come from? Love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. And if somebody hits you on the cheek, you know, turn the other cheek. That's where that all comes from. There's nothing original about this Illuminati. It's, fuck Illuminati. You know, it's kind of, if I was an Illuminati type person, I would really find myself taking that personally, unfortunately, and be offended. But I just think it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous that anyone would be so ignorant as not to investigate all of this and actually look at where it's coming from. This stuff is not well written. It's basically junk literature. Okay, light workers, go and do your best. Go and help people. Love them. and let everybody have a say-so. Problem is, you let Nazis have a say-so, you're going to regret it. They don't get a say-so. They get it to say who they are, what they are, what they're all about. And if it's good and if it benefits the bulk of us, the rest of us, then okay. However, their ideology and philosophy does not do that. It's exclusionary, it's racist, it's xenophobic. And it keys in on those to separate, divide, and take power. And so what is the Luciferian argument on that? Now, I really don't like the fact that some of the Luciferian types have gotten attracted, and the satanic types have gotten attracted to this Nazism. You know, I understand the will to power. I mean, go ahead. You want to know about the will to power? Read Nietzsche. Most of us want control and management over our situation. And we may be deluded into thinking we have a lot of free will. That's a huge debate that's still going on free will. God, YouTube's full of vlog casts and podcasts about free will and some real experts in it. So if you're into free will and think that it exists or doesn't exist, those are good debates to view and listen to. Personally, I'm ambivalent about it, meaning I think that we do have some free will, and then there is a kind of a predestination as well, which is you're going to have a lifespan. I think that's the main one. And you can be in control of how long that lasts to a certain extent, or you can kill yourself, which a lot of us do on the installment plan, you know, by imbibing toxic substances, by doing thrill-seeking behaviors, a lot of different ways that we shorten our lifespans. And most of that is through voluntary means, free will. Back to the whole religion, spirituality, and nonsense thing. So if you find yourself offended by what I'm saying, that's okay. You can get offended by it, take it personally, waste your time and energy on that. If I don't agree with your approach, I'll listen to it for a while, and I'll give you your due, personally, internally. I'm not going to push back. However, I'm going to turn you off. The reason I'm going to turn you off comes from the facts, and you don't have many in most cases. And you don't have any rolling corroboration of other facts. Yeah, albeit even confirmation bias would be more acceptable. And that's what most of us practice. We mostly look for things to legitimize our viewpoints. Instead of having a viewpoint which comes from a review, an observation of fact. Which brings up the news again, okay? So let's go back to ground news here. This whole Israeli thing, that was pretty sad. Okay, let's see what else is on there. Okay, let's look at climate change. Okay. And, you know, okay, so you got the Republican capitalist shitbags that get involved, and then also some of us on the socialist side. Jobs are a make-or-break argument for Biden in climate plan. Well, that's not incorrect, is it? Not incorrect. Most of the news on this is centrist, of course. Pretty interesting because in the beginnings of the formation of this country, from what I was listening to this morning, the centrists were what kind of held the British grip on the colonies. And eventually the revolutionaries took over. Eventually it was like, and then you still had Tories, you know, you had the loyalists that were loyal to the crown, and you had centrists who were just worried about, oh, geez, Lord. And if they had prevailed, we would still be British colonies, most likely, or Commonwealth. Like Australia or Canada or, you know, some of the others, we'd be like that. Because eventually, you know, the empire was too big for the sun to never set on it. So that's what happens. And that's what's happening to the United States right now, is that the empire that has gotten created, which has usually been through our business interests. And the military's been there to back those up. That's what has happened. You don't know that. Well, if you disagree with that, well, okay, too bad. Present me with facts otherwise. We're not out there defending, for an in large part, people's freedom and advancement toward democracy. How could you do that when your military isn't democratic? How could you do that when your business culture or society is not democratic? How do you do that when you have a watered-down, paltry democracy in your government, local and federal? Now, there are some city councils that are democratic, where the citizens can come in and vote en masse. The problem with that is it gets to be so many people that they're not all going to come in and do it, and so you have a city election. And a lot of this is just fucking laziness. People don't really want to do their part. People just want to, you know, put everything on automatic pilot, do like I do every night, sit in front of the tube, take my sleeping aid, eat, get entertained, fall asleep, get up and work the next day. And attend to my chores around the house. That's what we want to do. Don't get me wrong. That's what I do. I don't get a chance to get out and do activism anymore. I really don't. I'm just too physically limited to be able to do it. So I do it through electronics, and albeit that is very limited. But I want to encourage any of you who have this type of activism inside of you, get out and do it. Get involved. Do something. Do something, man. Yeah. Yeah. You know, especially if you have progressive values, we have to get out. We have to talk to people. We have to tell people, hey, you know, the moderate approach is going to destroy the planet and you and me. The conservative approach, forget it, man. That's doom. That's doom on the hoof. And I say hoof because these motherfuckers are like cattle when it comes to their, look at their orange demigod. Oh my goodness. What an absolute piece of dog doo-doo. Orange dog doo-doo. Dog doo-doo is not a great thing, so I could make that analogy. So, increasingly, what's going to happen with climate is that it's going to get more and more tragically serious. There's going to be more and more events, geoclimatic events, probably at some point, the geology is going to come into play. Catastrophic events will start happening with greater frequency. And you can downplay that and say, well, you know, there's always been a lot of hurricanes. Well, there hasn't been very many Cat 4 and Cat 5 hurricanes, has there? No. Well, there's always going to be volcanic eruptions. Well, you know, and that'll cool down things because it'll create the big cloud. And it does. The apologists and the downplayers still have too much influence, and that needs to go away. However, we need to have realism and not the cry wolf mentality. We need to have realism, and we need to get to work, and we need to start sequestering all this carbon. And, of course, not enough emphasis has been in the past placed on methane. Methane is a huge problem. As permafrost defrosts, it releases methane. Methane is a much more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. People don't know that, don't care. People are more worried about fracking, killing jobs, than killing people. And that therein mentality, that's what, and this is Republican shit, man, a lot of it, and some of it's centrist and conservative Democrat shit too. People are, you can't stop fracking, man, it'll kill jobs. Well, how about if we create 10 other industries that create 10 times more jobs than you lose from fracking? Well, I want to do the job that I have in the oil industry. I don't want to do another job. There were a bunch of motherfuckers pushing back because of that, because they're unwilling to change. That's just like when the meteor is coming and there's shelter available that's going to save you from it, and you decide not to because you think you'll survive anyway. It's kind of stupid, isn't it? You know, stupidity is when you know the difference and you're unwilling to take the appropriate steps. Yeah, a lot of us are unwilling to change. I have been. I've been very stubborn to change certain ideas, principles, and practices that I've had. And it's caused me unintended consequences. Getting back to unintended consequences. So in magic, that's what happens a lot. We do this. We have now the way I practice magic is kind of a scientific approach, not really, but kind of. We make an intention. We have a purpose. We devise a ritual to cause our intention to occur. In other words, to change reality in accordance with what we're willing, with what we have the will to do, our intention. And so we do this work, and the magic goes into the subconscious mind, and things start to happen around us. And of course, we reinforce that if we can by doing footwork in the material, in the physical world, and in our mindset, and in our emotional reality. And then we get results. The result might be not much. The result might be big time change. And then there might be a lot of unintended consequences. For instance, people wanting to, you know, get money. So what happens, they didn't put a stop on where the money's coming from. They don't want somebody close to them to die so they could get the money. They don't do that, so somebody dies and leaves them a bunch of money. Well, I guess that's okay if you didn't like the person and you wanted them to die. I guess that's okay, right? There's an unintended consequence. In magic, we attempt to design so that we don't have the wrong kind of unintended consequences. And that takes a little bit of analysis before we do things. And I've done things, you know, shotgun approach from the hip, and I've gotten some pretty nasty unintended consequences. Which brings about a greater discussion about magic and the occult. If you look up definitions of the occult, one of them you will find is that which is hidden. In today's world, there's very little which is hidden anymore. So occult is kind of a fun term now. It's again, oh, occult, okay, well, what are you hiding? Because what most people want nowadays is transparency. Yeah, we want transparency. We want to be able to see through our own follies. We want to know where something comes from, what it consists of, what could happen. We want to know as much as we can, a lot of us. Some of us, we're just in the consumer consumption reality of, I just want to, you know, I want to eat my food and do my work and make my money and get entertained and, you know, maybe I'll get laid. Hey, don't get me wrong. I lived in that for a long, long time, especially the getting laid thing. I've already talked about that way too much. Talking with a couple of guys my age, though, a couple days ago on Wednesday, we went out for lunch, and had a great time. One of my old friends from grade school and high school, known each other for, well, if you go back to like the eighth grade, wow, known each other like 51 years. And we were best friends. Well, we still are best friends with not a lot of consistent contact anymore. And his viewpoints are different than mine. He used to be a really crazy Christian. He isn't anymore. He kind of liked Trump, which I quickly got out of that subject because I like him and I don't want to push back hard on him, even though I did. And we both had a lot of unintended consequences in our lives. Yeah, both of us did. We got harmed by our own efforts. And we're talking about sex and relationships. Now, both of us are 68 years old. He's exactly 2 months a later birth than myself. I like to call him younger, about 68. So he doesn't do sex, except, you know, on his own, autoerotic. and not very often with that anymore. He just doesn't have a desire for it. And I understand that because I have a desire for it. It's not real strong, even though I do take testosterone, which is what we've seen from research is that testosterone is primarily responsible. Now, he was under the erroneous impression that estrogen is responsible for sexual desire in women. Sorry, man, it isn't. It's not responsible. Testosterone is. Testosterone is let's go fuck hormone. And, you know, it brings up the old joke, how do you make a hormone layer and don't pay her? Well, we're not going to do that. And I'm not coming down on sex workers at all. You know, sex workers have a very important function, I believe, in our society. Unfortunately, they get a lot of flack and bad press because of the sick religions that we have. Try to influence our social behaviors and legal responsibilities. Well, AOC, I think I'd have to differ with AOC here. AOC says, trampling of indigenous rights, racial justice are causes of climate change. I don't think they caused climate change necessarily. I think capitalism has caused climate change for the most part. And that these are more side effects of it. I'm not defending capitalism here because it is an evil fucking economic error in the cause of humanity. And yes, indigenous rights, racial justice, they do get crushed because of the ignorance and also the drive for profit. And that's what creates the income inequality and forces people to live close to poisonous industries. And that's part of the racial injustice. You know, if you can't afford to buy a house and you can only afford a really inexpensive or cheap apartment that's a piece of shit in an area next to a plant or a series of plants that are spewing. Like in Houston, there's all these oil refineries and shit. And they're the most evil, toxic fucking pukers of poison that we have, probably, you know, on an industrial level. They're pukers of poison. And people are forced to live close to them because the rent's cheap. That's bullshit. See, this is where that drive for profit. Now, I think AOC is softening this, you know, and putting it in a social, you know, context so she doesn't get hammered for socialist ideas. Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. Like Greta Thunberg warned us again yesterday, the time is now. You motherfuckers can't wait. We have to change shit now. We have to get green and sustainable now. We have to do it correctly. Because a lot of these industries that create green, sustainable, create a lot of toxicity and pump a lot of carbon out there while doing it. So we have to find ways to do it that don't. And I think one of the ways, not the way, but one of the ways is the molten salt reactor. If we could build hundreds of those around the country, we'll get enough power to make these transitions and to use that power. Now, supposedly there's reverse engineered alien technology that exists that's going to pull directly out of the quantum vacuum the energy that we need. I'm waiting, brothers. Adam Trombley, send the men in black home, because the men in black are, here's the conspiracy, the men in black are run by the poisonous portions of the energy industry. Not necessarily untrue. However, I wonder, you know, of course, there's guys that have spent a good portion of their career going around debunking all of these zero-point generator types of devices. And we haven't seen any of them that have survived into commerce. That's not to say that there aren't those and that Tesla didn't have some of that stuff. Supposedly here in Phoenix, there's a house that's completely off the grid that runs with a lot of the old Tesla technologies that he developed. Supposedly. I haven't seen it. So the only real conspiracy, I think, that really threatens us is called a business plan. And the business plan, as evidenced by what Exxon knew back in the mid-70s, is that profit is more important than people. And that short-term profit should rule. And that creates all of our problems. So I think it's a class problem and not a race problem. It's a problem of class, and that's created by capitalism. So that's what's wrong. Now, a lot of people disagree with me on that. Go ahead and disagree. I've had people tell me, oh, how great capitalism is because it created this, created that, created that. Yeah, it did. And then what do we got to show for it? There's this one guy back east who used to be in an organization I was in. And then he became a ceremonialist. And he's a fucking ignorant cunt. Yeah. Now, I shouldn't call him a cunt because that's a useful organ. And just an ignorant fuck. And he got sucked into all this ceremonialist crap and the fucking Gnostic church and all that bullshit. That's fine. He can get into that. But don't try to tell us how great it is, because it's not. It's fucking infantile on a magical level, and you were involved with the best magical organization there is, my opinion and my experience. There might be better if there is. Tell me about it. I have some friends that created their own paradigm. It's really cool. We're supposed to interview them, but the other show that I do, they're scared of things like that for some reason, because they want to be stoned ignorant fucks, I guess. I don't think so, but they just don't want to get into it. I gave him this book, and the guy tried to read it, and he doesn't understand magic and magical paradigms, so he wouldn't necessarily have any. But instead of interviewing the guy who did this, you know, and saying, well, what did you do with it? What did you get out of it? He just wants to ignore it and talk to guys that are just stoned. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. It's his show. It's not my show, so I'm not gonna push back on that. I'll have guests on for that type of thing. I don't like doing the whole guest thing. I'm just like I like my soliloquies. So I've talked a long time this morning. I've reached the limit for a Friday podcast, in my opinion. I could cover more of the news here. Let's see what else is going on climate change, AOC. Okay, well, that really went wrong, in my opinion. Let's see what's going on locally, if they can do that. They've got a local thing on this ground. New York, no. Here we go. Let's see what we got here in Phoenix. Okay. Okay, there's always fuckers killing each other here. Phoenix is one of the big kill places. It's always been a big kill place. And people trying to say that, humans are peaceful and, they're peace-loving and they're really not violent and murderous. That's bullshit. Part of the whole human thing is violence and murder. Not everybody does it. Most people don't do that. Most people are nonviolent and not murderous. However, there are people that are, and it's part of the human condition. So now the Arizona AG, Mark Brnovich, is suing Biden administration over its immigration policies, citing questions over whether recent decisions comply with environmental regulations. You know, these guys will do anything to push back. Instead of doing something constructive, border policies. Okay, what's this? This is Associated Press. Let's see what this says. Read. Okay. Arizona's top state prosecutor sued Biden over what he calls environmentally disruptive. Now, how in the fuck does that piece of shit have any knowledge of environmental stuff? He's a goddamn lawyer. Oh, he's not an environmental lawyer either, I don't think. But we have to look him up. He might be. I don't think he is. Defendants have embarked on multiple environmentally disruptive policies without performing even cursory environmental analysis. Okay, so where's the impact statement, right? Where's the impact statement on the wall? What did the fucking wall do, you Republican slime? What did the fucking wall do, right? What did it do? Yeah, it disrupted the environment for sure. And you know what? Here's the thing. This our region here was part of Mexico. And we took it from them. Yeah. So, you know, if Mexican peoples get upset because of that, well, they kind of have a legitimate case there. We invaded and took this over and took it away from Mexico. And so to them, there's no real border that exists. They should, to them, it's a regional migrational thing that they used to do primarily for farm work. And then it became more lodging and food and beverage type stuff. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, this is totally ridiculous. Okay, so Brian Seege, now here's your environmental attorney. Senior attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity called the lawsuit political grandstanding and an insult to border communities, wildlife, and wildlands. I hold my peace. Brnovich, go suck a rotten egg. You fucking reactionary piece of dog shit. Why don't you do something that benefits the people of Arizona on a legal basis? That doesn't. All that does is, you know, we got rid of HB 70, but all that does is bring back that fucking xenophobic mentality that has no place in our state. If Arizona Attorney General truly cared about the environment, he would have sued the Trump administration for ignoring environmental laws and tried to stop these destructive walls from being built. Ta-da! That's what Seege, the biological diversity attorney, said. Yeah. Yeah, fuck these guys. Ron Paul's new warning. Ron Paul, another old libertardian piece of dog doo-doo. Ugh. I won't read anything he says anymore. I've had enough of him over the last 40 years. Woman pleads guilty to hate crimes for running down children. Oh. 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 Uh-oh. Well, there's a lot of advertisements on this page. Woman, here she is. A white North Carolina woman was charged with driving her car into a yard where three teenagers were playing basketball. Dana Renee Forrest, 35, of Greenville, had been driving around and threatening the three teens by waving a knife and cursing. The release said Forrest intentionally veered her car off the roadway and partially into the yard to strike the children. Deputies said when they searched her car, they found marijuana, crack cocaine, and a knife. Well, maybe if she'd have just done the marijuana. And of course, she's charged with felony cocaine possession. There's nothing about any type of ideology that she may or may not have had. Nothing to say if, you know, if the children were African-American. Okay, that's fine. No problem. No problemo. So what other local shit do we have here? Let's see here. Okay. Well, that attorney general thing is pretty fucked up here. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's kind of nasty what happens. That article was clearly in the center, along with almost all of them. Lone Republican vote blocks bill targeting mail ballots. That's not a good thing. Well, no, that is a good thing. We don't need any blocking of mail-in ballots. I've been doing it for years. It works great. There's no consistencies and almost infinitesimally low voter fraud. Police pursuit suspect arrested after multi-vehicle crash in Mesa. Ooh, that's a bummer. Man dies after fight at apartment complex near Black Canyon Access Road in Maryland. Oh, my. See, those apartments along there, man, that's a big problem along there. There's a lot of dope trade going on down there. Latest on the death of Deion Johnson, who died after being shot by a DPS cop on the same day of George Floyd's murder. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So here in Arizona, you know, of course, a lot of the news focuses on the negative, and there is positive news here. Big negative news here is, it says we might have rain today. Okay, God, I'd love that if that was the case. Big news here is not enough water. We're going to run out of water sooner or later, hopefully later rather than sooner. That's going to cause a lot of problems because people are moving here in droves from fucking California, and that's not a good thing. For that alone, I don't care about them moving here and living here and adding to our economy and also to the ideological mix. I do have a problem, though, because they're not taking account that we're in a worse drought situation than California.